just began just revived our connect groups, we are into the second week, doing the book of James, so we just started the first 12 verses of the book of James. All right, how's it been so far? Everybody good? Just warming up, today I thought it'd be good for us to do an overview of the book of James, in a very broad spectrum, and see where James is getting at. We won't go into the details of James, all right? See where James is getting at, and have an attitude that we need to come before the Lord every single time, not only when we read the book of James, but every single time we go into scripture and encounter God. You know, God works through His word. And James chapter 1 begins off, after his address, verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, right? Whenever you face, you know, various kinds of trials, right? And because you know, keep going, 1 and 2, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, okay? Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. The ASV uses the word manifold. Okay, so it is not just different kinds of trials, but, you know, over and over and over again. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Now, there is a difference between trials and tests. In our CG, we talked about this a little bit, right? Trials. Okay. If you are following me, not following me, have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, can I? Can respond? Can I? Okay, good. So here we go. There is a difference, and James is saying, you know, you will face trials of many kinds, okay? Why? Because at the end of the day, it produces something. Trials will lead us to a test. Let me give you an example. If you had an exam at the end of the year, your exam just started, right? I don't know when your exams is. But if you had an exam in school or whatever, some of us, you know, we hear of the lecturer or the teacher or whoever you have say, okay, test, okay, exam. End of the year, these are the topics that we will cover, A, B, C, D, E, F, E. Some of us go into immediate stress. Some. Others, in here, out there, and then, you know, 3 months later, the lecturer say, got test, when, what are we supposed to cover? You know, some of us go into immediate panic mode. Now, what happens is we go through a trial at that very moment when the lecturer says, test. We face trials immediately already. Okay, we go through stress, you know, and that process itself is a trial. But here's what happens. If we prepare ourselves, we budget our time to study, we schedule, and we plan accordingly, and we go through that trial, when the time comes for us to go to the examination hall and do whatever we're supposed to do, no problem. The test now becomes easy. The test is to prove whether you know the material. Right? The trial is what you go through to prove that you know the material. You with me? Everything that has value needs to be tested. You agree with me? Everything that has value needs to be examined, tested. Take gold, silver, diamonds, precious stones, and whatever other you know, precious materials that you have. They go through testing. Why? So that we can determine its worth. Agree? Testing is so that we can determine the worth of a particular substance. That's why we test. Okay? What is the most valuable commodity that you and I have? What's the most valuable commodity in this world? Eternal salvation. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul, right? Salvation. Some of you may think it's your boyfriend or your girlfriend, not true. Now, if that is the case, if everything that is of value needs to be tested in order for us to determine its worth, okay, we then need to think about our salvation if we say that it's the most valuable thing, right? Agree? Most Christians here, right? Yeah. Okay. If it's the most valuable thing, then having that right relationship with God, having that communion with God, being the most valuable thing, priceless, right? Jesus himself gave parables after parables and says the kingdom of God is like this. It's like a priceless pearl. Sell everything just to find it. Then all of us who believe, all of us who possess that precious commodity, okay, and I'm referring to eternal salvation here, need to put it through a process of testing to determine how valid it is. Agreed? Salvation needs to be subjected to testing. Some of you look at me like you're hearing this for the first time. Salvation, I repeat, salvation needs to be subjected to testing. And this is a biblical concept, you know. It's throughout the Bible. Okay, let me give you some examples. Psalms 17. Okay, Psalm 17, verse 3. Says that, here. You probe my heart, examine me at night. Though you test me, you will find nothing. I resolve in my mouth that my mouth will not sin. So the psalmist basically here says that God, you test. Test me and probe my heart. You will find nothing. Psalm 26 verse 1. 1 and 2. The psalmist says, judge me, O Lord. I've walked in integrity. Judge me. Vindicate me. Okay, the NIV says, vindicate me. For I have led a blameless life. Psalms 139, this one we all know. Verse 23, 24. Psalm 139. Search me and know my heart, the psalmist says. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Test and see. The psalmist tells God. Let's move on. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 40 says, let us examine our ways and test them and let us return to the Lord. Let us examine our ways. In fact, he says, he used the word test. Test your ways. Now, we started off by saying that the test basically proves or shows the validity of the object. Correct? Whether it's precious stones or whatever it is, you go through a test so that everybody knows it is what you say it is. Let's go to some New Testament. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Test yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Hey, wait a minute. But I thought if I receive Jesus Christ, I'm in the faith already, right? So what is Paul saying here? That we need to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith or not. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 says this. Since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. In other words, make sure that you don't fall short. Make sure that you keep to the mark. Don't fall short. There is a necessity to examine ourselves. Salvation needs to be tested because it is valuable. Now, James, the book of James, refers a lot to the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at the Sermon on the Mount a little bit because it gives us it defines what we need to do. In fact, some scholars have said that, you know, the Sermon of the Mount basically is a test of your salvation. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It starts off with Beatitudes. Okay, we won't read everything. So you go back and read 5, 6, and 7. Sermon on the Mount. Okay. It starts off with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Okay, those who mourn, those blessed are the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Okay, and he talks about that, about the attitudes of the people. What kind of attitude should we have? And then he goes on to say, that blessed are you, verse 11, when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. And that's the attitude that is required. So the first section, Jesus begins with and deals with attitudes. And he says, in the midst of all this, rejoice. And if you are able to do that, you are blessed. You know, James begins by saying this, consider it pure joy. Jesus starts off the Sermon on the Mount by saying that, you know, if you are going through persecution, you are going through this and that and all that, rejoice. And James follows up by saying, consider it pure joy. How many of us know that attitude, our attitudes, goes along with our salvation? It is a test of our salvation. How we see things. What's our attitude towards things? Okay? Then after that, Jesus goes on to talk about salt and light. The second thing that Jesus deals with is the testimony, the influence that we have. He says that, you know, salt's supposed to be salty, our light's supposed to shine. Right? In other words, you and I, as believers, we need to impact community. We need to have an influence over the community. Here's the thing. Alright? If that is so, then we can also say that maybe if we don't have impact over the community, we are not Christian. They did not say that, right? Why are you so serious? Because that's what Jesus said. We're supposed to impact the community. We are supposed to be the light of the world. We're supposed to shine. We're supposed to be salty. If you are not salty, he says, you know, better throw outside and be trampled upon. Amen? Yeah. It's got to be impact. Influence. So now the second thing is this. Okay, your attitude is going to, how or what kind of attitude that we have is going to be a test. It's going to show how valid your salvation is. Number two, your influence is going to show how valid your salvation is. Oh, serious, this one. Of course, Jesus is serious, right? Let's go on. Then after that, he talks about, from verse 17 onwards, he talks about the law, you know, how we need to fulfill the law. He talks about obedience. We need to obey and fulfill what the law says. In other words, our commitment to the Word of God is going to be a test to validate your salvation. Our commitment to the Lord from verse 17 onwards. And then after that, he talks about murder, adultery, divorce, you know, talks about, you know, taking an oath and all that stuff. And that talks about righteousness. How we treat one another. It's going to be a test. Chapter 6. As a church, we talked about this already. We talked about just a couple of weeks back. Chapter 6. Chapter 6 starts off with giving, then with prayer, then with fasting. And basically, Jesus is saying, hey, don't give like the hypocrites, or don't pray or don't fast like the hypocrites do. Okay. Next section talks about how we need to have a right worship unto the Lord. He addresses hypocrisy. He goes on to address our relationship. We talked about this in camp with money and with material things. You know, a lot of times we read, and if you have been a Christian for many, many years, okay, some of us born in church, right? Gonna, Ezra. you know, before come out already in church, really, okay, the moment, go to church. And we have heard the word of God over and over and over and over again. And here's a challenge for us today. And this is a challenge, okay? We have heard, I'm sure you have heard this passage, this, the Sermon on the Mount, very famous, okay? If you have been in church long enough, you have studied the Sermon on the Mount, that's why I'm not going into it. You know, there are many, many lessons that we can learn. But today, here's the challenge, okay? Because we're gonna look at this from the perspective of James, from the book of James, because James basically takes the Sermon on the Mount and he re-emphasized that all in the five chapters of James. And basically he's saying this, hey, we talked about our relationship with money, right? And material things, right? Okay. And here's the challenge. I started with this. I'm going to end with this. I'm going to continue with this. Okay. Our relationship with money and material things is a test to validate our salvation. How we treat money and material things basically will prove whether our salvation is genuine or not. How we treat relationships would prove that. Chapter 7 talks about relationships. How we need to have a right relationship with God. And then he goes on in verse 13 onwards. He talks about, you know, false prophets. and you know, how these people can get you off track of a right relationship with God. Stay on the right path. And the Beatitudes end at the end of chapter 7, verse 24. It says this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on rock. The rain came down. Okay, 2 days ago we had rain. How many of you enjoy the flood? In front of my house, there's a huge monsoon drain. And I'm thinking, oh, we should go down there, you know, get a rubber float and just, you know. I mean, those, what do you call that? Tube, like tire or whatever. Just go, man. Okay, so the rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, it beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But, okay, verse 26, but everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds a house on sand. Rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. That's how Jesus ended. And then, he's finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, and so on and so on. You see, he ends with a parable, Sermon on the Mount, ends with a parable. And he says this, okay, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice. Okay? Verse 24. And then, verse 26. But everyone who hears the word and does not put them into practice. So he compares the one who puts them into practice and the one who does not. The one who does not loses everything. All your hard work is washed away by the rain. It is said that the Sermon on the Mount is a test of salvation for the Jewish people. James, the book of James, parallels itself with the Sermon on the Mount. There are many, many verses that, you know, have the same implications and connotations, you know. Jesus' concern, what Jesus was concerned about in the Sermon on the Mount is basically James' concern. In the whole book of James, it gives us a series of tests as if we need to validate our salvation. Turn with me to James. James, you will see this come out very, very often. Okay, I'll just pick a few. Chapter 1 and verse 21 says this, therefore get rid of all. Okay, therefore get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Let's go to the verse before that. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for a man's anger does not bring about righteousness, does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid. Now, James, you will see over and over again, has this theme of listening and doing. Listening and doing. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount by saying this: if you listen and do it, that's what's going to happen to you. If you listen and don't do it, this is what's going to happen to you. Listen, do it. Chapter 2. Okay. James is famous for this passage. Chapter 2 and verses 14, all the way to the end of the chapter, right? Talks about faith and works. Verse 17 says faith without works is dead. He repeats that three times. Verse 17, verse 20, verse 26. Basically, he says that if you have faith, then you need to be doing something about it. Show me your faith. How? By your works. In other words, James is, it's almost as if James is saying this, you know. You got faith? Prove it. Let me see. If you have faith, show it. Chapter 3 talks about verse 13. 3 and verse 13 says this, who is wise and understanding among you? Okay. We read in chapter 1, if you lack wisdom, ask God, right? Verse 5. Okay, we did this in our CGs. Okay. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Show it. James is a very practical book. James basically says, let's work it out. Let's work it out. James, you know, does not deal with the essence of salvation. Okay, and here's where some people say, hey, you know, James and Paul, you know, fighting. Alright? But James doesn't deal with the essence of salvation. He doesn't talk about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He doesn't talk about the resurrection of Christ. He doesn't talk about, you know, Christ being God, alright, the deity of Christ. He doesn't talk about justification, for example. Alright? He assumes that. He assumes that all that already you know. Okay. Because if we look at James chapter 1, verse 1, he says, James, a servant of the Lord, servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, alright, so he's writing to the Jews, scattered among the nations, greetings, consider pure joy, my brothers! Okay, so here he's addressing brothers and sisters, of course. Okay, the believers. Alright, he's addressing, and you will see this come out over and over again. If you flip the page to chapter 2, chapter 2 begins that way. He says, my brothers, as believers in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And so, here James is talking to the believers. He assumes that, hey, all of us have dealt with salvation already. So I'm not going to talk about, you know, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that stuff. You and I, we are brothers in the Lord. That's where we begin. That's what James is doing. So he already assumes that you and I have faith or have salvation. Alright? And basically he says this. That's where we are at. Now let's see it. Let's see that salvation. In other words, let's put it to the test. Let's verify it. Paul basically answers the question, how is salvation received? So you read Paul and you read Romans, he says, you know, salvation comes faith alone. Right? James basically says, how is salvation verified? He answers that question. How is salvation received? By faith alone. How is salvation verified? By works. Show it. In fact, Jesus talks a lot about that. And so, we need to understand the idea that James is having when he writes this book. And here's the challenge for us, okay? Here's the challenge. Understanding the intent of the book, alright? What James wants to do is to challenge us to produce works. To challenge us to go through the test. To basically verify our salvation. Now for us as a church, we've gone through 11 verses, 12 verses, right? Our first session, we did 12 verses. Okay. And these 12 verses talks about, there are a few things that comes up. You know, we did this yesterday in our CG. Joy. Perseverance. Faith. Maturity. Stability, you know, not tossed to and fro, right? Wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Okay. Humility. These things come out as a result of what? The trials that we face all the time. Well, maybe not all the time, but regularly. Okay. Various trials, numerous trials that we face all the time. What must it produce? Joy, perseverance, and all that you found in, there's much more as you continue to read the book. Let me end today where we started. And that's this. Search me and know my heart. Test me, the psalmist says. And here's the challenge for us today. As we begin to read the book of James, and I challenge each one of us to read the book of James every day, just read, 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 because James is a very extremely practical book. He doesn't deal with, you know, a lot of theology, so to speak. He comes with the assumption, hey, you are Christians now. This is what needs to happen in us. And so let me end with this question. Turn to your neighbor and ask your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor, huh? Ask your neighbor. Are you a Christian? And if your neighbor says yes, turn to your neighbor and say, prove it. Here's one perspective, right? Someone asks you, how do you know that you're a Christian? Okay. The textbook answer is this, textbook answer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I receive him as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Correct? Correct or not? Correct, right? How do you know that you're a Christian? The Bible says so. I believe him, I receive him, I have a relationship with him. Correct? Yes. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next question is this, prove it. Are you a Christian? Yes. I have a relationship with him. Prove it. Can say what? All of us can say, right? All of us can say that, hey, I have, you know, received Jesus Christ as, you know, my Lord and Savior, and I can even pray, you know, fanciful prayers. If you've been in church long enough, you learn how to pray all the nice prayers, correct? You know? I have a relationship with God. Prove it. That is basically what James is saying. You have faith? Show me your works. That's it. We just finished 40 days, right? Prayer and fasting. Yeah, some of you are like, wow, let's go for silver. You know? I hope not, But what does that produce in us? if we come out of 40 days NECF prayer and fasting and say, yeah, you know, I've conquered 40 days prayer and fasting, what does that prove? Rain's going to come, you know. Some of us, literally, the rain come. Okay? So, immediately after 40 days, heavy rain, you know, and in the spirit, this is God's cleansing. Amen? Okay, God's doing something in our land. Man. And, you know, JC's car gets flooded and... give thanks to the Lord. Rejoice. Because if not, then, you know, the 40 days is... JC, you're Christian? Yes. Yes, I am. Yeah, correct. Sure. Okay. Prove it. You know, when the flood came and filled up my car, and it cost me 150 ringgit, correct? About there. Didn't worry me a bit. Why? Because, you know, I have the peace of God with me, and I was rejoicing all the way. I was walking down the street, and this guy came out with a parang and said, give me all your money. Before I could say anything, he snatched my bag and ran away. And I rejoice. Why? Because I'm a Christian. That proves I'm a Christian. That guy needed the money more than me. Maybe. I don't know. No, it didn't happen to me. I'm just giving an example. Example. Here's something that happened to me. 2 days ago, heavy rain, right? So I'm in my room. And I heard a loud crash. And I thought, oh no. So, I didn't do anything about it. Didn't do anything. Didn't jump up like, you know, hey, what happened? Okay. Then after that, when the rain died down, I went to repark my car and saw that, you know, the windscreen, my wife's, not my wife's car, loaned to her one, not even her car. It's parked outside. Branch fell off the tree, landed on the windscreen, you know, crash. Okay, so I came in. My wife was talking with the kids and all that. And then after that, I said, hey, your windscreen, you know, crash, broken now. And then, Ashlyn, was trying not to laugh. Okay, why? Because she thought I was trying to pull a fast one on her, you know. And try to, you know, play a joke on her, you know. And then I said, no, this is a real one. Okay, screen really cracked, you know, gone. Then she said, why so cool one? What? Screen cracked, nothing we can do about it. Rejoice. You know, is it going to be expensive? Sure, it's going to be expensive. Is it going to burn a hole in our pocket? Sure. You know, but all that is a scratch. Okay, we talked about this in camp, right? It's a scratch in terms of eternity and what God wants to do. So, if someone's going to ask you, okay, to prove that you're a Christian, this is what you need to do. You need to tell them a story of your life, current. Don't tell story that's 10 years old one. Okay? A current story of your life that shows that faith is acted out in words. That's how you prove that you're a Christian. Consider pure joy. Not something easy to do. Right? Whenever we face trials of numerous kinds, Why? Can you flesh that out? Because it is a test of faith. It is the test of faith. Because you know that the testing of your faith. Now we say that because of our faith, we have access to God, right? We become a Christian. We have a relationship with God because of faith, right? And James says, it will be tested. And that's how you and I know that we are in the Lord. If we are not ready for tests, if we are not ready for trials, we will never be able to show that we are believers in the Lord. And so my challenge for us as we go off today is, what is it about our life that will change so that we prove, I use this word, because test basically proves, or verify, if you don't want such a strong word. What is it in our life that will change, that will verify that we have salvation? It's not good enough. It's not good enough to just do Bible study. Head get bigger. What does that do to us? What does that do to everybody else? It's not good enough. I'm not saying got no value, got value, but it is not good enough. Because James says, you say you got faith, show your works. Something else must happen. Light, Jesus uses this illustration. Light is meant to shine. You don't have light and put it under a bowl. So what if you have light and you put it under a bowl? Here's the thing. So what if you have salvation and there's no works coming out of you? So what? Let's hit. Father, we come before you right now, even as we bow our heads. We want to pray the prayer of the psalmist to say, search me, test me. And I know right now, for some of us, that's a very difficult prayer to pray, you know. To be able to come before God and say, God, test me. Test me and see that there's no wickedness. Test me and see that my, you know, lips are pure. Test me and see that my life is, you know, with integrity. Test me. Come on, God, test me. It's difficult to pray that prayer. But church, God wants us to be more and more and more and more like Him. In word, and in deed. Right? Word and in deed. Everything that we say and everything that we do. It's not good enough to just say that I'm a Christian. It's not good enough to just say, you know, I received Jesus Christ into my life. That's it. Done. Come to church every Sunday and, you know, go for Bible studies and not good enough. Because if we read scripture, the whole idea of tests and trials is consistent throughout scripture. God tests us so that we live the lives that we are meant to live. So that we become the light of the world. So that we have influence. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name for each and every one of us here, even those who are not here. Father, that we would be totally submitted to you, O God. Lord, we have said we have faith. But Father, help us to understand what that means. Because James says when our faith is tested, something else comes up. Perseverance. Humility. There is wisdom. There's maturity, stability. There's joy. And so Father, we pray, Lord, that these things will be evident in our lives. And many, many, many more. Holy attributes that would be evident in our lives. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we give you thanks for the cross. But now we ask, O God, that your Holy Spirit that you have sent would continue to challenge us, lead us, guide us, and cause a transformation to come upon our lives. We want to live lives that are worthy, O God. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. And so, Father, we pray right now, in Jesus' name, that you will search our hearts. Test us. For this we ask and pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.